The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
It's quite something, all these buttons here. So, good morning again. It's a great pleasure to connect with you this morning. Maybe we might just reflect on that for a moment of what it's like to have this Sangha that meets together in the morning and this a certain type of connection. We even use this word Sangha, right? This implies that a certain amount of connection. And how much that supports us, how much that perhaps makes it more likely that we will tune in and sit for those of you in the West Coast time, 7 a.m. And how the influence of having other people here really can be a big part of our practice, big support. And of course, the Buddha recognized this too. So I'd like to share a little story that's that's preserved in the discourses, and it's about Meghiya. So Meghiya was the Buddha's attendant, this is what the tradition holds, before Ananda. So before Ananda, Meghiya was the person who would be with the Buddha and presumably help take care of where he was going to sit and the people that were coming to see him, and just be generally an assistant in some kind of way. We don't know the exact details, but that's what I'm imagining. And one morning, Meghiya goes for an alms round. He's a monk, of course. And during alms rounds, he notices this really beautiful grove where he thinks it would be really nice to meditate. So after the meal, he goes to the Buddha and says that he'd like to go to this mango grove that he saw earlier. And he was going to take his leave of the Buddha and go sit. And the Buddha discourages him from going, saying, you know, well, stay here and, you know, attend to the things that I have here, that nobody else is here to attend, so please don't go. But Meghiya really wants to go. So he asks a second time. The Buddha says no a second time. He asks a third time, and some of you might have heard this, that Buddha's, the tradition holds that when asked three times, they say yes. But this time, Meghiya, I kind of like this, it adds a little humanity to it. He says, well, Bhante, that's like a title of respect for a monastic or one's teacher. Bhante, for you, there is nothing further to be done and no need to increase what has been done. So saying, for you, you don't have to meditate. You've already accomplished what needed to be done. But for me, I have something further to be done and I need to increase what has been done. If you will permit me, I will go back to that mango grove and meditate. So the Buddha relents. Meghiya goes to the mango grove, and he's, you know, filled with enthusiasm that he's going to meditate and achieve enlightenment, perhaps, or something like this. But of course, it's not what happens. Instead, all these thoughts arises in his mind, and he has this response: "This is truly astounding. This is amazing. I have ordained." And I've dedicated my life to the practice. That's my summary of what he says. Yet I am still stalked by these kinds of thoughts. Sensual thoughts, malicious thoughts, cruel thoughts. So then he goes back to the Buddha and reports what had happened. That, you know, he went to meditate, but it didn't work out as the way that he was thinking. And then the Buddha tells him, well, Meghiya, when the liberation of mind has not matured, that is, when there hasn't been complete freedom yet, there are five things that can help it mature, that can help this liberation of the mind. Number one, good friends, companions, associates. I'll come back to this. Number one on the list is companions, friends, associates to help this purification of mind. Number two is access to the Dharma, to the teachings. Three, to behave in a virtuous way. It's wholesome. Four, to have the energy for abandoning that which is unwholesome and cultivating which is wholesome. And five, has wisdom, and specifically has wisdom around impermanence, has seen things that come and go and are inconstant, arise and pass away. Part of the reason why I really like this story, partly because it feels to me kind of like, you know, this could really happen, perhaps for all of us, this wish to go meditate and yet discover, wow, even though I had all these good intentions, it didn't go the way that I was thinking it might go. But Meghya, he has access to what we might say is the greatest teacher, meditation teacher, right? He's the Buddha's assistant, and yet he still has difficulties. He's also a monk. He has dedicated his life to practicing a spiritual practice, the Buddhist way, and yet he still has difficulties. So the Buddha is emphasizing, the first in this list, is the role of other people. The role of friends, companions, and associates. They're using these three different words, and the way that I'm interpreting them, these friends, companions, and associates, is people that we have different levels of intimacy with. People that we might share our life with. Maybe just people that we connect with on an informal basis. Or maybe people that we only connect through, now I would say, reading and even podcasts or tweet social media or something like this. So the Buddha, he recognized that our minds are malleable, that they can be formed and they can be changed. Of course they can. Like, otherwise, why would we have a meditation practice if the mind was frozen in one particular way? But recognizing that the mind can be formed and changed intentionally, it can also be informed and changed unintentionally, and that we can be tremendously influenced by our friends, our associates, and our companions. Whether we are aware of it or not, whether it's conscious intentionally or not. So, whether we are receiving and transmitting messages to others all day long. This is what it means to be connecting, whether it's with a strong connection or maybe it's just with a casual or lighter connection, is some ways to be receiving and or transmitting, I'll use this word, messages, maybe beliefs, views, ideas. And so this is why the Buddha says that the highest blessing, one of the highest blessings, is to associate with the wise and to avoid fools. So he uses this word fools to say those people that don't recognize that there are consequences to their actions, or who don't recognize that there is a difference between wholesome and unwholesome, things that are supportive and not supportive, skillful and not skillful. So having being somebody who is wise, or associating with the wise, or having good friendship, quote unquote, some of you might be familiar with this expression, kalyanamita. It means more than just associating with people that we like, or just associating with people who share our interests. It means more than that. I'm not discarding that. It's so important to have our lives be able to connect with people that we like and that share our interests. But it also means to connect with people, whether directly or indirectly, that can support our path, that can support our movement towards greater freedom, our movement towards greater peace and ease. And our associates, companions, friends, they can support us in a number of ways. One way, of course, is just by simply being an exemplar, showing what's possible. It's possible not to be spewing vile or, you know, anger or ill will all the time. It's possible to treat others with respect, or it's possible to make one's inner life a priority, or to take care of it, to cultivate it and respect it and nurture one's inner life. So it can be an exemplar in so many ways. Maybe it's just simply taking care of their bodily experience, eating well, exercising, sleeping, or exemplars in their inner life. Of course, another way that a companion, friend, associate can be a support for us is offering guidance or even instruction. So that is to includes letting us know those areas of our life that might need some attention. And this is not easy. It's not easy to be a good friend, good associate in this way, and it's not easy to receive this, the somebody pointing out. You might want to be careful with your speech here, for example, or pointing out that it's hard to remain balanced when you are filling your mind with social media that's not supportive. I just offer these as examples. You might have your own examples. So a good associate is somebody that, with understanding, with care, with compassion, with kindness, and hopefully with some skill, can help us to see aspects of our lives, maybe some blind spots, in a way in which we can hear them, in a way in which we can understand without immediately getting defensive or dismissive. I know this is not easy. And also a good friend, associate, companion is, of course, somebody who encourages us to continue doing whatever is helpful and supportive for us, and to notice that which is, maybe we don't even notice some of the things that we're doing. We haven't maybe noticed the significance, or noticing that we're always in a little bit calmer, better mood after we've meditated. Maybe somebody says, you know, there might be some resistance to meditation, but afterwards I've noticed that you're a little bit easier to be around, or I don't know, I'm just offering this as a suggestion. You might have your own. So the Buddha recognized that the mind can be changed and is influenced. This is a beautiful thing. But part of the way it's influenced is by with whom we're connecting. Whether it's informally, formally, whether it's intimately or not so intimately. And maybe I will close with this verse that's also from the Discourses, where the Buddha says, when a person has good friends and treats them with respect, following their friend's advice, clearly comprehending and mindful, that person may step by step attain the destruction of the fetters. That is, the ending of those things that get in the way of freedom, including complete freedom. I'll read that again. When a person has good friends and treats them with respect, following their friends' advice, clearly comprehending and mindful, that person, step by step, may attain the destruction of the fetters. So may you have some sensitivity to what you're connecting to, with whom you're connecting. I'm not saying you have to discard your relationships and to recognize that there's a wide spectrum. This is something that I like to emphasize, that maybe some friends are really helpful in some ways and maybe not so helpful in other ways. But just be sensitive to what you connect with, who you connect with, and whether it's supportive and helpful, either by being an exemplar or providing some guidance, some encouragement. So that in this way that we may all show up with the best version of ourselves, so that we maybe support others, so that we might be a good friend, a good companion, a good associate for others. And in this way, be of benefit, be of support to those we come in contact with, and extending out and out, so that our practice may be for the benefit of all beings everywhere. Thank you.